It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. Hopefully your day is going well. Got a little bit of rain out there, cooling things up. I'll tell you what a difference, you know, 80 versus 90 degrees. That 10 degrees, man, the last couple of days just melting out there, but not too bad today. We got a lot to discuss, including last night's Major League Baseball All-Star Game, those hideous uniforms. I will repeat what Nathan Forlina said on yesterday's show, wishing we could just go back to the days where the teams wore their regular season jerseys for their own teams in the All-Star game. So if you're with the Pirates, you wear your Pirates uniform. If you're with the Padres, you wear your Padres uniform. Those jerseys last night were atrocious. 946-0435. That's our number if you'd like to join us. We're going to talk some college football today as well. Penn State's whiteout game will be against Washington. I do want to get into today why I think the Pac-12 teams are going to struggle in the Big Ten. We're going to start leaning more toward college football a little bit. And by the way, next Tuesday, marks the season debut of our Black and Gold Breakdown. Kreider, Bortner, myself, we will be in here every Tuesday from 5 to 6 o'clock talking some Stillers. Got a lot to discuss over the course of the summer and leading into camp and the season and everything. Russell Wilson, new offensive coordinator, our gripes about Mike Tomlin. We'll get into all of those each and every Tuesday on Black and Gold Breakdown from 5 to 6 right here on 96.1 Hank FM. We do have a caller to start things off. What's up? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yep, you're with me. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Ben Hartchamp. How are you today?
I'm doing great, pal. What's going on?
I'm actually calling from Philadelphia, but I'm in Altoona. I'm actually driving out to Pittsburgh, and I'm going to the Phillies Pirates game.
Excellent. Thanks for reaching out to us, buddy. What's going on?
So I'm actually on the autism spectrum, and I drove for my very first time out to Altoona, and now I'm driving to Pittsburgh for my very first time.
Oh, cool.
I was a guest on the Ellen Show and a contestant on The Price is Right.
You were a guest on the Ellen DeGeneres Show?
Yes.
And The Price is Right. So what was the discussion on the Ellen Show about?
I talk about autism and inclusion and kindness. I run my own business called Benergy One Presentations. I talk at schools, companies, and businesses about autism. And I just wanted to share the message that if you have autism, you could do anything you put your mind to it.
I love it. I appreciate you calling in to what we're doing. I like to talk about pretty much anything here. What were you on The Price is Right? Did you actually get up on stage?
I did. I won $16,000 and bought a car.
What?
Yes.
So what was your you got up to contestant row and you had to bid? What'd you bid on?
I bid. So if you go on my website, you can watch the video benergy1.com. I overbid a guy named Oscar. And I got on stage, and it's a roller coaster ride with Drew Carey. You got to watch it.
What game did you play?
It's In the Bag, and I won $16,000.
Awesome! And how'd you do on the spinning the big wheel?
So I got a 90, and I went to the showcase, and I almost won a car and a Volkswagen.
Look at you! You went the whole way. How about that? That's awesome. Hey, let me ask you this: when were you on Ellen?
2018.
Okay, so this was before. We're going down a little bit of a different path here, but I'm very curious about this. About 2-3 days ago, I read this giant story about Ellen DeGeneres, who claims in her comedy act that she is quitting show business. She's basically been forced out because people think she's mean and everything. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, there was all this stuff about Ellen's persona being a fraud and the people all around her show that she was just very mean to everyone. What was your experience with Ellen then?
She was amazing, and people asked me, what does she smell like? I said, she smells like kindness.
Was she kind to you? Did you get any sense?
Oh, absolutely. She loved my energy.
Did you get any sense at all that what was going to happen to Ellen with people turning on her?
No. I had no idea that I was going to be a guest.
So you're driving from Philly into Pittsburgh for the Pirates-Philly series.
Yep, and then I didn't tell you this. I actually got to carry the trophy when the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Awesome. How old are you, pal?
26, and I have my own company. And if you want to learn more, visit my website, BenergyOne.com. I also want to plug my mom's book. My mom wrote a book called Swinging from the Chandelier. It's on BenergyOne.com. When I was 3, I was swimming on the lights in the chandelier. My mom said, oh, boy, if I ever write a book, that's the name of my title.
I love it, Ben. Thanks for calling in and sharing all that, buddy.
Yeah, if you want me to call, I don't know if I should call the other Altoona stations. I wasn't sure.
There's no other talk shows going on right now. This is kind of just a daily sports show, but I love it. The fact that you're going out to see the Pirates in the fields, and this is the first time you've driven across the state?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Which is pretty, yeah. Well, thank you so much, and you have a great day.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate you sharing the story. That's awesome. I love that. Just kind of, that's terrific. I love hearing stories about from people with all kinds of experiences in life. That's great. Appearing on Ellen and The Price is Right. I got a text here. There's so many stories out there about how awful of a person Ellen DeGeneres is. Yeah, I read that, again, a couple days ago. I was sitting around probably 2-3 days ago, and there's this big story about Ellen that's out there. I guess during the pandemic, somebody tweeted, share some of your most awful stories about Ellen. And sure enough, a whole bunch of people tweeted those, and that led to an investigation, which ended up basically ended her show. So if you're going to build your reputation on being kind and sweet to everyone, but you're actually an awful person behind the scenes, you're going to get found out eventually. All right, so I always say anything that you want to discuss. It could be sports, anything else. 946-0435. Love taking your calls on anything. Appreciate that, dude, for calling in.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much. With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
KFM.
All right, if you watched the All-Star game last night, call in. Let us know how you did. Paul Skeens started, pitched a scoreless inning. No strikeouts, looked good though. 946-0435. I've got some personal music concert news here I'll share with you here in just a second. I caught a nice little break. We'll go to the phone line. I believe we've got Jerry in Bellwood. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good. This is a quick question or comment, I guess. I didn't watch the All-Star game. I was working, but I looked at the stats. So one of the questions has always been, does good pitching beat good hitting? Mm-hmm. Does the All-Star game prove that good hitting beats good pitching? Considering, like, I think the American League, looking at the stats, they had 9 pitchers, each pitched an inning. Of course, the National League had a ton of pitchers, too. But they still... you know, still 5-3. So does good hitting beat good pitching?
It's interesting that you say that because Shohei Ohtani hit a 3-run homer and the National League did nothing else. So I would really tend to flip it and go the other way that that last night once again did prove that good pitching will beat good hitting. I know the American League scored 5 runs. And I did not watch the game. I was watching the highlights and everything. But, sure. I mean, look, hitters are going to hit nowadays. They're going to drive the ball. They're going to hit the ball hard. But a 5-3 game is not necessarily a slugfest to me. Again, especially when 3 of those runs came on a 3-run homer by Shohei Ohtani. And again, the National League did nothing else the rest of the game. To me, that's proof that the National League hitters, you know, we're overpowered by the American League pitchers.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you're watching a pitcher and he gives up a 3-run homer, you're not thinking he's had a great outing, are you?
Yeah, but the rest of the pitchers did for the American League. That's the thing. I mean, the one guy did give up the 3-run homer. I'd have to see who it was. I don't even remember. But the rest of the American League pitchers all went out there and put up zeros. So,
yeah. I guess you could also argue that some pitchers, you know, need a little more than an inning to get into their groove.
Okay, now, if you truly want to get into some awesome discussions, man, that is a great discussion right there because that is definitely true. When you're talking all these starting pitchers, all starting pitchers have a routine of what they do 2 hours before the start, 3 hours before the start. I'm not trying to get too gross here. Most athletes have a routine of what they eat, when they eat it, when they poop it out before the game starts. All these guys have a routine, starting pitchers especially. So I would tend to argue that starting pitchers probably do have are at a little bit of a disadvantage when you're in an all-star situation. Now, they can be told you're going to pitch this inning or that inning. They're probably told you're going to pitch the 3rd inning, you're going to pitch the 4th inning. I think that's generally the way it works nowadays. So they can still kind of prepare that way, but it is a little different just throwing out in the bullpen during a game to get ready as opposed to, you know, everything else that goes on. Because so starting pitchers are very, very, very routine-oriented and, dare I say, pretty super. Superstitious.
Yeah, and did any relief pitchers, you know, make the All-Star game? Any, like, middle relievers, did any of them make the All-Star game? Do you know?
I don't know about middle relievers. There were some closers in there. I don't know for sure, to be perfectly honest with you. That's a question I'm not – I kind of doubt it. Typically, middle relievers do not make it. The A's dude who threw 103.6, Mason Miller. He's a closer from what I know about him. Yeah, he's a closer. So you got me a little bit off there. As far as I know, there might have been one, but looking at these rosters, I think these are pretty much all back end of the bullpen guys. But again, your question is a very, very good one. Does good pitching beat good hitting? Well, sure.
Yeah,
I was going to say, a good pitch. This is something I encountered 20 years ago covering minor league baseball, Jerry. Can a good pitch be hit for a home run?
Sure.
Well, then what's the definition of a good pitch? Now, see, I used to claim no. If it's a good pitch, then the hitter's not going to do anything with it. If it's truly a good pitch, by definition, you've done something really good with the pitch and messed up the hitter. So for the longest time, okay, I argued that a good pitch, no, could not be hit for a home run. As I got a little older, started seeing more and more, I would say this. You can throw an absolutely gorgeous pitch. You can execute it. You can put it exactly where you want it. It can be 6 inches off the ground, and somebody like Vladimir Guerrero would go down and golf it for a home run. That's the kind of thing that made me start to change my opinion and say yes, that a good pitch can be hit for a home run. And that's an example of what you were saying, the pitcher beating the hitter beating the pitcher. But in reality, if that pitcher throws that pitch 100 times, he's going to get the desired effect 94 of those times. You see what I'm saying? Vlad Guerrero might hit the one pitch out that's 6 inches off the ground that's an absolutely stunning breaking ball, but 90-plus percent of the other times, that pitch is either going to get a strike or a little weak ground ball. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that makes sense. Would you still say, well, I don't know if you ever said this, but I've always thought that the baseball All-Star game was the best of the All-Star games.
Yes.
I'm not a hockey guy, so I can't speak about hockey. But, I mean, it isn't as good as it used to be. But would you still say that it is the best of all the All-Star
I totally games? Agree with that. You're absolutely spot on. They are still playing the game. Nathan and I talked about this yesterday. They're still playing the actual game. The pitcher is throwing 100 miles an hour like he would during a regular game. The hitter is trying to hit the ball like he would during a regular game. The fielders are trying to field the ball like they would during a regular game. In the NBA, you know, people can say they don't play any defense in the NBA. Well, they do in important situations. They play defense. In the All-Star game, not at all. I mean, nobody's getting in front of anybody ever in the All-Star game. In the NFL, the Pro Bowl doesn't even count anymore. It's really a joke. Hockey, I haven't watched a lot of NHL All-Star games, but they're not getting in there hitting with the kind of intent. But in baseball, they're playing a real game. I mean, it's not like Paul Skeens dialed it back to throw 92, right?
Right. Well, yeah, but you're not going to get any Rose running over a faucet ever again.
You're not going to get that anymore, but remember when Tony Gwynn, you know, that Pittsburgh All-Star game, and it was Tony Gwynn doubled and Moises Alou scored. You know, you're going to get everything you saw from Pete Rose and Fosse, you're just not going to get the collision. You're going to get 100% complete effort by every guy on the play. The outfielder is going to go, if he's got to go to the gap and make a throw. The guy, he's going to try to make a perfect relay throw. The guy's going to try to make a perfect relay throw to the plate. The runner's going to run hard. I still think you would get every element of Pete Rose and Ray Fosse. You just wouldn't get the collision. Would you agree or disagree with that?
No, you're right. Well, hey, I'm going to lose you. I'm going up over a mountain. But,
awesome.
Thanks, Corey.
Thanks, buddy. That's great stuff. I love that stuff. That's the kind of question that I absolutely love. I want to dive into that a little bit more. Anybody want to jump in on this? I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Can a good pitch be hit really hard, and maybe especially for a home run? And again, I've kind of learned this as I've, you know, gotten a little bit older. My buddy Rob texts me, you can place the perfect sinker or slider and someone turns on it, they can blast that great pitch into next week. They can, one time. They can, absolutely. The game of baseball, pitching, it favors the pitcher. It's in such an inordinate amount of, from a statistical perspective. Let's say football. Traditionally, over the history of football, a 60% completion rating was pretty good, right? 60%, okay, from a quarterback. Used to be in the 60s and 70s, maybe 55, 56%. So traditionally, until lately, with you know, guys throwing 65, even 68, 70%, when a quarterback puts the ball in the air, traditionally, he had a 58 to 60% chance to complete that pass. When a pitcher throws the ball, he has a 70-plus percent chance to get the guy out. Now, think about that. Think about the, from a, just a sheer statistical standpoint of what I'm talking about here. A good hitter nowadays, a good hitter, hits 275. There are still some 300 hitters, but teams nowadays bat about 250, 260. So every time a pitch is thrown, there's a 70 to 75% chance that it's going to go the pitcher's favor. Okay? Football, when the guy throws a pass, you at least got a 40% chance, again, traditionally, that you would knock it down. And sometimes, if you're still playing good defense, you can hold a quarterback to below 60%. But baseball is so dominated by the pitcher. So, again, it kind of gets back to the question of, can you throw a pitch that's a really good pitch, but it gets hit for a home run? Well, was it a good pitch? Or did you do something wrong? I talk to my son. My son's a pitcher. I talk to him all the time. I use this word, execute. You can't worry what happens after you throw the pitch, okay? This is especially true in youth baseball, and I think probably up until you get into the high minor leagues, because it's not like defense in the low minor leagues is always all that great either. You execute your pitch. If you put the pitch where you want it, you've done your job as a pitcher. If you get a strike, that's great. If you get a weak ground ball in the infield, that's great. Well, anybody that's ever been around youth baseball, and again, baseball even up to the high school level, you can have the pitcher do a great job getting a weak grounder on the infield and the shortstop boots it. Now the guy's at first. Then the next guy hits a weak grounder to second base and the second baseman boots it. And now you got runners at first and second. And then you make maybe one tiny little mistake and they get a little grounder up the middle. You've done your job on three pitches and you could be down 1-0. That's the nature of pitching. But what you do is you teach a pitcher, control what you can control, execute your pitch, put it where you want it, and if the hitter does something with it, you tip your cap to him and you say, great job. So again, you see guys like Vladimir Guerrero, some hitters like that. Gary Sheffield could do it. Ken Griffey Jr. could do it. You know, guys that could hit really low pitches. If you're a pitcher, right-handed pitcher, your perfect spot is the lower left third of the strike zone, down and away, strike quadrant to the right-handed batter. Perfect strike to the left-handed batter is bottom third quadrant of the right side of the strike zone. If you put the pitch there, you've done your job. If the hitter hits it, then, hey, you tip your cap and say, great job. Try and do it again next time. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Bob from Altoona.
What's up, Bob? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call, Corey. First of all, I want to reply to what Jerry was saying. I was thinking yesterday, because my father-in-law always said, good hit, pitching beats good hitting, and I didn't agree with that. But when you went through, like, I think it was like the last 5 to 10 years,
yeah,
the scores of the All-Star game, and I thought, holy heck.
Yeah.
You know, it does beat good pitching does beat good hitting.
You doubted that, Bob. You know a lot about baseball. You've called for a lot of years about baseball. You go to a lot of baseball games. I mean, sure.
You will. That's my sport, and I didn't. Well, him and I never saw. I don't know. Anyway, but I didn't really agree with that because I grew up with Mickey Mantle and all of them, and they always seemed like they hit no matter what. But now. Yeah, I did doubt that, but now I don't doubt it anymore. Because now last night was a little bit of anomaly compared to the scores the last, I forget how many years he went back, because they were real low.
You get the big home run. That's what everybody's looking for. Here's the proof in the pudding. Let me just go. I did this last year at some point. Do you know what the highest team batting average in Major League Baseball is right now? For a team, you know what the highest batting average is right now?
No, I don't know what it
is. .262. That's the highest team batting average in Major League Baseball. I'm going to go back to 2008. Just pick a random year. The highest team batting average in 2008. Listen to this. Okay, I just picked a random year, 16 years ago. These were the top batting averages for teams in 2008. .283, .281, .280, .279, .278, .271, .271, .270, .269, .268, .267, .266, .265, .264, .264, .263, .263, .263. You got to get down to the number 19 team. The Cleveland Indians in 2008, they were batting .262 as a team. They ranked 19th. Now, this year, the highest team batting average in all of baseball is .262. There's only 10 teams batting .250 or above. Number 11 is the Royals. They're at .247. So you see what I'm getting at. The pitching has completely taken over that sport.
Is that what it is? Because I noticed watching baseball, like back in the day, most people were, up in the upper 200s, and then there was some 300s. And I thought when they did away with the shift, the averages would go up, but they've actually come down.
Yeah, you would think. Let me just go by comparison. I'm going to go 5 years ago to 2019. 274, 270, 69, 67, 65, 65, 65. So the Pirates actually were seventh that year. So the top seven averages in 2019 were all 265 or above. So in a five-year span, look what we've done. Everybody is a good 10 to 12 to 15 points worse in 5 years.
Wow.
Now, let me mention this to you, because apparently the dude for the A's yesterday, Mason Miller, threw a pitch, I think 103.6 miles per hour. It might have been the fastest all-star pitch ever, although I've seen that disputed somewhere. Somebody else may have thrown 104. Bottom line is, I wonder when we're going to get to the point where 104 is routine. I'm surprised we're not there yet, because when I started covering professional baseball 25 years ago, 92 to 94 was a good fastball, okay? Then it got to be probably about 15 to 12 years ago, a 98-mile-an-hour fastball became a really good fastball. But in the last 15 years, we've only advanced 3 to 4 miles per hour, okay? How many more years do you think it'll be to where literally 103 to 104, now we are pushing and testing the limits of the human anatomy and all that stuff. I mean, we talk about Roger Bannister and the 4-minute mile. It's not like anybody's ever going to run a 235 mile. At some point, the limits of what the human body is capable of doing. But I think, there have been thousands of people that have broken the 4-minute mile. I wonder when we're going to get to the point where a ton of pitchers, not just Paul Skeens and Mason Miller, but you've got half the pitchers in your league are throwing 103 miles an hour. What do you think hitters are going to be able to do then? Because hitters, You only have so much. The human brain, the eye, the brain can only decipher things so quickly. And so, again, my point is, give it another 20 years. These team batting averages, I just told you, number one in the major leagues is 262. Give it 20 years. I think we're going to be down into the 252 range for the highest team batting average.
That's for sure. One thing I think if they ever get that robo bump, I think and the pitchers have to come in tighter, it might help.
Do you think that'll help hitters?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good. I see people striking out, and they never, the pitcher, a lot of times they're looking, never even threw a strike.
Yeah, that's true.
They never had that. They never had that thing before, you know, that box, you know. So
yeah.
But now it's like, it's amazing how terrible they do.
I could not agree with you more. Thank you, buddy. Good call. Oh, I love these discussions. These discussions are so good because we talk a lot on the show about different eras and how things change, what the NBA was like in the 60s versus now, the athleticism, what football was like. Jack Ham played linebacker for the Steelers weighing 215 pounds. Nowadays, these linebackers would dwarf guys like Jack Ham. So where does this go from a pitching standpoint with baseball? One thing that you will continue to see is pitchers get taller and taller and taller, to where you're going to have just an enormous amount of 6 foot five pitchers, 6 foot five and above. And so what that's going to give them the extra advantage is the downward angle. So you're going to have all these guys that are super tall throwing lightning fast at a downward angle, hitting the bottom thirds of the strike zone. And so when that happens, again, I just went back 16 years. And in 16 years from 2008, when the highest team batting average for the season in 2008 was 283, and you had eight teams above 270, 16 years later, the highest batting average is 262, and you only have two teams above 260. You only have 10 teams above 250. Let's go forward another 15 years when more guys are throwing 103, 105. At what point do we see 107? What's the highest we see? For those old enough to remember the April Fool's Day story that George Plimpton wrote for Sports Illustrated on Sid Finch. Remember Sid Finch, the supposed like pitcher that they got out of the Mets got out of the Australian outback, and he threw, I believe the story went 120 miles an hour or something like that, and it was all just a hoax. It was all just an elaborate April Fool's Day joke, which is amazing. But I truly do wonder at what point, depending on how much the human body can withstand, at what point will we get to guys who can throw 107 consistently, to where the 102 from Paul Skeens is like, that's a nice cute fastball. Here's 107.
Daniel Suarez is on, and he's evaluating his season so far here in 2024.
With that being said, you know, I'm a very realistic person. You know, I like to live in planet Earth. You know, I don't like to be in a different planet with things that are not realistic. The reality is that last week, I would say that in Asheville, I feel like we had a good run. We had maybe a between 10 to 15 place car before all the Cautions Fest that we had there at the very end. We're running 13 or 12. Ross was in a good position. I think Ross was maybe a little bit better than us. I still believe that there were cars out there that they were much better than us, but Stridey, you know, got him in that position. So that's when he, you know, for me, that's when I start thinking about being realistic. You know, like if you tell me, hey Daniel, you guys almost won last week, yeah, you know, I think the one team did an amazing job executing a good race, making some good calls, good Stridey, and things almost work out for them, but they didn't have a speed to flat out win the race. So we still have work to do in road course stuff. You know, last time in Sonoma, I think the one actually was pretty good. We were okay. We were not very good. We finished 13, which, you know, it's not very good. So, you know, we are thinking at a little bit outside the box.
You're on the final lap.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code WEALTH to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code WEALTH for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WEALTH for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Shoe Fly. Your feet will thank you.
I spent the break going back reading the Wikipedia entry on Sid Finch. If you remember, if you're a baseball fan, this was 1985 and George Plimpton wrote the now legendary Sports Illustrated story on Sid Finch, who reportedly threw 168 miles per hour. And the subhead of the article, this was the subhead of the article. He's a pitcher, part yogi, and part recluse, impressively liberated from our opulent lifestyle. Sid's deciding about yoga and his future in baseball. And the first letters of each of those words spelled out Happy April Fool's Day. So hilarious with the subhead of that. All right, 946-0435. We want to thank our sponsor each and every day, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, for all they do for our program. Honestly, I really cannot thank J.M. Boswell's enough. I know if you listen to the show and we do the ad reads and all that stuff, but it's extremely important. We gotta have sponsors on the show. I should say that, point this out more often. You know, the folks at Leitner here have done a great job having me on the air every day, which I love, and that's fantastic. We have to have sponsors, and J.M. Boswell's has been a tremendous support of our program. So if you're ever heading out that way for a game, tailgating, whatever, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. They're open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. We're going to go to the Clarkster. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Is a good pitch always a strike?
Well, sure, with the way umpiring is now.
Yeah, well, going back to the averages and everything, it's just lack of contact. That's one issue. The other issue is the velocity and what guys are swinging for. I don't know what the home runs were like in 2008, although I saw the same stats that you saw. I don't think he gives a total for strikeouts and home runs.
Let's see. So I have him here. So 2020, let me go back to 2008. Luckily, this ESPN page has a very easy scrolling thing. So 2008 regular season, home runs. The league leader was 194. The Rangers, and then the Cardinals were second at 174. Let me go back to last year. So 194 and 174. Last year, the team leader was 307. Now, did you hear that?
Yep. Yeah.
307, 233, 230.
But the lack of putting the ball in play.
Yes.
The lack of having guys that are up there like Matty Alou, you know, guarding the plate.
I grew up with Tony Gwynn. Rod Carew, I remember him late in his career. Obviously, Pete Rose was a contact hitter. I did a podcast 2 years ago with Freddie Sanchez, who won the batting title some 17 years ago or so with the Pirates. And Freddie Sanchez told me he probably wouldn't be able to play today. He might not be able to crack a lineup today, because that's not what teams are looking for. They're not looking for singles hitters who can get on base.
Chicks don't dig the small ball.
No.
They dig the long ball. It's lack of contact that takes place. If there are 10, there's how many outs? 27 outs in a 9-inning game. If 40% or 50% aren't, making contact, it's going to be an issue.
This notion of the three true outcomes, strikeout, home run, or walk, that to me is the ruination of baseball.
Well, once they go to AI for the umpires, how far behind will it be for the players? the pitching staff. Pitching staff is getting to be, well, a quality start is 5 innings. What you saw in the All-Star game may be what it's coming to down the road.
Sure. Yep.
It's changed. You don't have the guys that are, somebody back. Look up the complete games way back.
My God, it's ridiculous. I go back to the 70s and 80s. Guys would have 20, 22 complete games. Some guy for the A's, I think, if memory serves, through 19 consecutive complete games or something like that.
All the great ones, the Drysdales, the Gibsons, the Roberts, the name pitchers, the Newcombs and different things, they had so many, complete games, and they stayed in there. They didn't have anything called a pitch count. So, it's gotten so ingrained into it, By the way, thank the All-Star team for having Skeens pitch yesterday, so we'll avoid them this weekend.
That's right. No Skeens for the Phillies. That's right. Good stuff, yep. Buddy. Thanks for the call, man. Rick Langford in 1980 threw 22 consecutive complete games. Did you hear what I said? Rick Langford in 1982 through 22 consecutive complete games. And, you want to talk about playing a different sport? Let me look up 2023 complete game leaders, because the way pitching is handled now, MLB leaders, 2023 complete games, Three. There were two pitchers last year who threw three complete games, and they led baseball. Jordan Lyles, Sandy Alcantara, both threw three complete games. One, two, three, four, five, six pitchers threw two complete games. Alex Cobb, Nathan Eovaldi, Garrett Cole, Mike Clevenger, Framber Valdez, Logan Webb, all through two complete games. And total, I'm just going through this. Oh, my God. So the total number of complete games thrown in Major League Baseball last year. Are you ready for this? The total number of complete games thrown in Major League Baseball. Six, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. 35. There were 35 total complete games in Major League Baseball last year. Rick Langford in 1980 threw 22 consecutive complete games. I mean, you know, the last pitcher to throw 300 innings was 40 years ago, Tom Seaver. So, again, all of this goes hand in hand with what we're discussing today. And I want to thank Jerry for bringing up the question because I had some different things I wanted to get into today. But I love this stuff. This is fantastic stuff about baseball. Does good pitching beat good hitting? The answer is clearly and unequivocally yes.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over two dozen local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back to the show. Our phone lines are open, 946-0435. Anything that you would like to discuss, we will take your phone calls. Again, 946-0435. We'll have a lot of great baseball discussion today. I do want to get into a couple of things from a college football standpoint. So this is something that is kind of driving me bonkers a little bit. So EA Sports has a new college football game out. College football. 2024. And it's the first time in, I think, 11 years or 14 years that they've had the game out. And so the media, the college football media around the country, is losing their damn minds over this game. Like, I follow a lot of college football media to stay on top of Penn State and everything. And I'm seeing all these stories, all these reports, all these tweets comparing all these football teams based on how EA Sports is rating players. So it's become a huge thing now that the way video game makers, who they've done their research, believe me, don't get me wrong, how they are rating players and college football teams, that then is becoming a story. Just like you would see top 25s that, you know, sports writers or coaches or whatever would vote on. Now we've got all these stories about this player's got this rating, this player's got that rating, Penn State's offense is rated this, Penn State's defense is rated that. And the whole thing is, it's peculiar is not really the right word. It's just kind of bonkers to me because I didn't grow up playing sports video games. I grew up playing adventure video games, games that took a long time where you had to go through levels and all this stuff, and you needed a bunch of lives. I played Legend of Zelda growing up, and I'm talking about in the 90s with the original Nintendo. Played Super Mario Brothers. Legend of Zelda, Mega Man, Metroid. If you remember any of these games, if I'm dating you back to the 90s, Metroid, Mega Man, these games took forever. They were addictive games. They were like drugs, man, because you would play these games for 3-4 hours a day for 3 or 4 months trying to beat them. And those were the games I grew up on. I didn't grow up on the sports game. And on sports, I just didn't grow up on that. So I was never a Madden player. So many people are these Madden folks that they love. They can't wait for the Madden to come out. Madden ratings are all the rage. Which player has a 99 or a 98? These great ratings in Madden, blah, 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 blah. Well, I didn't grow up with that. And so to me, look, I've been a college football writer for 20 years. To me, this game is meaningless. I mean, it's a game, and yeah, they've got some stats and everything, and they tried to compare players, this player versus that player, and they did a good job with their research. But for me personally, it's still just all made up nonsense. Like, okay, to be able, they're trying to rate college football players who have never played in college football. Like incoming players have ratings in these games. Well, how is that even possible? This is not science. It's not some type of scientific breakdown. And yet these college football writers, a lot of people that I've had on this show and people who I respect, and my buddy Rob just texted me, college football is a 365-day-a-year job. These writers have to be focusing on something for 365 days a year, so they're focusing on fake, stupid games. And that's kind of where I fall into it a little bit, is that I've always loved about baseball, and today's show really was a great example of it. I love having really good, detailed, in-depth discussions about things like, can it be a good pitch if it's hit for a home run or if it's hit really hard? Those are good discussions. I like watching college football games and discussing what happened in the game. My least favorite thing about football is this: the downtime. One game a week. And so what has to happen then, and I've been in the media and I've been guilty of this and I hated it, because you only have one game a week, you have to start manufacturing things to talk about. And with the 365 media, 365-day, 24/7 media. Everybody writes for outlets. They've got to have one or two stories a day and blah, blah, blah. What do? They write about nonsense and stuff that doesn't make a bit of difference really in the real world at all when it comes to the games. I like watching games and writing about games and analyzing games. And why did you not win this game? Why did you win this game? Why did this player struggle against this particular scheme? And yet here we are, it's July, and there's nothing better for all these college football writers to do is to salivate over this college football game and the ratings and the whole thing. It just drives me bonkers. It drives me nuts to have to read respected colleagues doing nothing but spending a ton of time writing stories on how a video game ranks college football players and teams. It's really one of the most ridiculous things I've seen in my career. So just wanted to get that out there. A little bit of a rant. Might not mean much to a lot of you folks who don't play college, you know, don't play video games or whatever. But a lot of college football writers are very young people. Very young people. And they still play the video games, or they grew up with the video games. And so how EA Sports ranks Penn State's second string linebacker is a big deal. Well, it's really not a big deal. So, all right, great discussion today. Coming up, I keep mentioning this, we are going to talk good college football stuff, have some really good college football discussions. We're not going to be ranking freshmen who have never played and wondering how they're going to do when we've never seen them on the field. How will Penn State fare in reality? Not just in video games. We're going to get into a lot of that here coming up over the next couple of weeks because college football season is getting a lot closer. And again, I want to remind everybody one more time, starting Tuesday, every Tuesday from 5 to 6 will be our Black and Gold Breakdown show where we will preview the Steelers. That will get underway next Tuesday here on 96.1 Hank FM. Have a good night, folks.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1.